Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
A piece of a sheep's ear is about 3 inches long, but just a piece of it. The leg bone on a sheep is considered between the ankle and the knee joint. There's no meat on that. The carcass is gone. His belly's fat. And he's just devoured this little lamb. But what you know this morning, that lamb don't belong to the lion. That lamb belongs to the shepherd. And he saw that little piece, and he saw those little leg bones, and he said, that belongs to me. That's my little lamb. That's what I've invested in. That's what I've died for. That's what I shed my blood for. And he went after him with authority and pulled it out of the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
That's an amazing ponder of truth there. Pulled it out. Brought it back with him.
Amen.
And that done a lot for that little, those little pieces. But could you imagine the rest of them in the fold? The 99 that he left. I wonder what they was thinking. Where's the shepherd at? He's left us alone. We're all by ourselves. But he shows up to the legs and here. I don't know about y'all, but if I was there, maybe one little sheep said another little sheep. He really loves us. If he would go after that. If he thought it was something to go after that, little scraps, and bring that back, we've got a real good shepherd.
Amen.
He loves us. And if he's willing to go after and fight that lion tooth and nail to bring us back to the fold, I say praise be to God.
Amen.
Paul is saying that thing for this cause. I see something here worth salvaging. There's something here worth going after. Praise God. You might be the one that's the lost sheep this morning. Let's venture off and got all things in your mind. You're affecting your worship. Your walk's messed up. All this stuff. But can I tell you that God has invested in you. He has laid down His life for you. He's interested in you. Praise be to God. What great lessons we can learn. As the man of God said, wait a minute. I know they're in bad shape. I know that they are, that they're in a ditch right there. But they're worth contending for. They're worth going after. They're worth humbling ourselves and becoming a servant and following Christ. Even the death of the cross. Death to ourselves, to our ideas, to our thoughts, and saying yes to God and going after that one that is straight away. Going after that one because God has put something on the inside that is worth salvaging. That inner man loves God. Irregardless of how far is the ditch, the inner man wants God. The inner man is a working of God. And God will continue His work. What an amazing thought. What an amazing thing. Oh, how we can find ourselves in a ditch. And we can find ourselves boogered up, kicking on folks that's fallen, not going after them. There is something there that was worth fighting for. Y'all know about Wani. I've told you about him a bunch of times. A couple years ago, was helping him load up the canoe. He's going up river. I was excited for the trip. I was going to preach. And I was tickled to death, but there was a little something I couldn't figure out. Got down to the canoe. He had a girlfriend he was going to take with him. And I said, "Mom, don't do this, son. It's strong. Please don't do this." One, please. Don't do this. It's going to hurt the church.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt the name of the Lord. Don't do it, son.
Yes.
His mind was already there. She got in the boat. I got out of the boat. I remember sitting on the shore and screaming out as loud as I could. With a broken heart. The way of the transgressor's heart. Whoever transgresses hardly, don't do this.
Amen.
There he went. That's anyway.
Preach.
Boy, remember going to the little house where I was staying at the time, got on my face, and I said, "God, I'm hurting, Lord. It's my little son of faith. First convert I've ever had down here, and he's gone off in sin. What do I do, Lord?" Oh, there was such a battle on the inside. After those first 4 or 5 months, should just say, "Well, he's made his own path." I said, "There's something on the inside. God, I know God's saved. And it's worth going after.
Yes.
It's worth contending for. It's worth fasting and praying over." I said, "God, please restore him. Please bring him back, Lord. He's out of my reach. Can't get to it, Lord. I wanted to so many times to get up there and pull him out, but I couldn't." I got a little note about 6 months later. It said, I had sent him a letter too. He responded and said, "It said, preacher," he said, "I want to talk to you." He said, "I'll be in town." He come back to town. Was there for a day and a half. Come to church that night. I preached. He met me at the back. We sat outside and talked until midnight. It seemed like there was something moving on the inside. I was cautious. I didn't want to sit any further away. I wanted to reach that man and say, "Come to God.
Yes.
I know you want him.
Yes.
I know that there's a connection that you want again." And I was reaching for that.
Yes.
You know, birds lay eggs. And if an outside force breaks the egg, life ends. If an inside force comes and breaks the egg, life begins.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I said, "God, please." He laughed again. I got word up river. He's doing his own thing, drinking. I said, "How can the pastor of the church be bringing it?" I was so broke. The young people that was so on fire for God, they're slipping off in the woods and getting drunk. And I was like, "Oh God, it's a mess. Oh, it's out of my hands. What do I do, Lord? It's an absolute mess." There was some little ringer on the inside that said, "For this cause." There's something on the inside that said, "Don't give up just yet. You lay in there. There's something worth contending for." And I remember that morning, I got up out of my hut. I had gone down to the pond to wash off, brush my teeth like I always do. And I just said, "Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I've reached out to him. He's in a place where I can't go visit. I've sent letters. I've sent word. I've done all that I can do, Lord. It's in your hands. You're going to have to do this." And I just continued what I was doing there, preaching and continued the work. On a Thursday morning, they don't knock on the door, they clap. I heard somebody clapping. And I said, "Who the world is this?" And I looked outside and he called me by my tribal name, Masha. He said, Masha, it's me. It was one. Made his way all the way down the river. There it was. I said, well, man, come inside. I loved Dolly. I hugged Dolly. I said, it's good to see you. He said, preacher, I got something to look at. I said, what is it, buddy? Woo!
Go ahead, preacher.
He said, I was in the wrong one. I'm sorry. He said, I messed up. He said, I'm going to make things right. And we sat there and worshiped God with our hands in the air. And God good. Began to meet with us.
Good.
God began to come down. God began to show up. And I got that mental picture of this shepherd saying, "Lion, this one's not yours," and bringing back those little pieces and salvaging them. And so Paul, what an amazing thing! Paul had saw value in them, not only in them, but in the fact that what God has made, what God has birthed, what God has set forth, there was a fruitfulness of that. And so he was desiring them to come not just back, but all the way back. And that's why he emphasizes over all knowledge and all spiritual understanding, all wisdom, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, all patience. And so there is this gathering that there will be a fruitful vessel in the house of God, that his reach would not only end at Colossae, but it would go further, on further. That's why he says there in verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the sufferings, afflictions of Christ." That the gospel will continue to go forward. I believe that one of these days, best days are yet ahead. I want to plead the brethren to pray for him this morning. And I know there's more than one Wani out there. Matter of fact, you're probably thinking of one this morning. Can I tell you what the Bible tells us? I just want to read this text, and I'm through preaching. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, constraining thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. A man think himself to be something, and he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And what an amazing opportunity. Paul spoke in that chapter, last verse of chapter 1, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Can I say what Paul was saying real quick? He was saying, he's still working on me.
Amen.
And he's still working on you.
Amen.
He's still working on ones. And our duty as a believer, our duty as preachers and men of God, is when we see those ones that's gone astray, going back out, go after them. Oftentimes, we get in the critical spirit. And you say, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" Kick on him while he's down. Stomp on him. Can I tell you how bad that is? The Bible says that when God saves us, that Jesus Christ himself places us in the body, in a specific part of the body. It's listed over there in the book of Ephesians, chapter four. And so how dangerous that it is when we try to continue operating when one of the fold is not there. He goes on and says this. He says, "For whom the whole," verse 16, 4, "for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." Listen, every joint supplies something. And he goes on and says, "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love." So if the body is not fully edified, it's due partially because part of the body isn't there. And if that, but the part of that body is saved by the grace of God, there's an eternal being in there that has a place in that body. And if he's not fulfilling his place, then he's not supplying from his joint the edification of others.
That's why we're walking around.
That's right.
We need to feed every joint supply something. And so I think about those that are out.
Yes.
I'm going to kick on nobody.
Yeah.
Except for them pick on me. Came after me. I pray this morning we'll follow his footsteps. Go after those that we know that's in need of God's help and God's grace. Reach out to them with love.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I